Welcome to Freelance Gems, a podcast designed to help you build a more stress-free, service-based business. On this show, I'll be sharing what I've learned as a web designer and founder of my own brand, Opal Templates, as well as interviewing and learning from the best in the industry. So if you're ready to upgrade from regular freelancing to building a brand on your terms, this is the show for you. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Freelance Gems. Here's hoping that the audio is a lot better because I finally got a mic. I made myself wait till I recorded at least 10 episodes because I've been that girl who's like, I'm starting a YouTube channel or I'm gonna start whatever, anything I do. And I'm like, I'm gonna need all the equipment. My dog's drinking water. Here we go. She loves to do that right as I start podcasting. But anyway, I always just go for it a little too soon and then I realize I actually don't stick with something or I don't like it. So I wanted to make sure I actually like podcasting before getting a mic. And good news is, if you're hearing this right now, I like podcasting. So I'm here to stay. I really enjoy talking to you guys in this way, even though it's a bit of a one-sided conversation. It's just a really fun way to share what I've learned, even as someone who feels like I have so far to go. It's kind of been a cool exercise for me to realize like, oh, I actually do have some knowledge that can be helpful. All right, let's get into the first unpopular opinion, which is that you don't need to hustle for your first few years of starting a business or freelancing. I say this because my definition of hustle normally means you're working like 12-hour days, you're not getting any sleep, or you're working every day of the week, things like that where you're just super overworked and it's just nonstop. To me, that's more of a sign that something is not working, your energy is not going in the right places, or you're just not being the most efficient with your time. And now, of course, there's caveats to this where if you are in a situation where you have to be working multiple jobs or keeping a full-time job while you're also trying to build a freelancing business, you're probably going to be working more than 8-hour days, and that's fine. But I think that the notion that there's some sort of inherent hustle period that has to happen is not true. I think that if you're super smart about the business you're building and the packages you're offering and your marketing methods, it shouldn't be something that is making you go into this overdrive mode, right? Because especially at the beginning, your main task, your almost one and only task, should just be marketing and sales. And that doesn't take that long. If you're doing direct outreach, if you are actively going to networking meetings or setting up your own networking meetings, there are marketing methods that don't require hours and hours of your time and will give you quicker returns than, for instance, content marketing. So maybe if you're still working a full-time job and you're trying to start a YouTube channel for your brand and you're not even really sure it's what you're going to stick with forever, but you know content is king and you're trying to do all that, I feel like that is more likely to send you into hustle mode than being really smart and particular about your marketing methods and your packages so that both are designed to not take away a ton of free time. And my other side note on that is that you shouldn't feel like you have to earn more work-life balance, right? So even if you're out of the side hustle phase and you're full-time freelancing or full-time with your brand, I've felt before like I have to wait until like 3 years or until a certain income amount to take off a day of my work week or work shorter days, but that's just not the case. So if that's something that's always been a priority for you and that's part of why you started freelancing, I say give yourself those little rewards earlier on whenever you can, because you have more control of that than an income goal necessarily, right? So if one of your goals is to hit 100K in client work or 10K months, and another goal is to work from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's okay to give yourself the 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. goal before the 100K goal. So it just kind of goes back to the same theme. If you're being smart with where you're putting your time, you don't necessarily need to hustle to get ahead. I think a lot of us find that most of the time we spend in our business is not really moving the needle. And if we cut down that, we would have a lot more free time, myself included. I need to do this because I get good at it and then stuff starts building up again. It's just a whole process. Okay, so my next unpopular opinion is that you should belong to your niche in some way or else it's just fake. Like, there's no way to be authentic if you're marketing to dentists and you've literally you've never known a dentist before, you've never been a dentist, you've never been in that field to some extent. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, if you want to work with doctors, you have to be a doctor, because that's crazy. But I think you need to have some skin in the game, right? So whether you have a friend who's a doctor, or even if you like freaking almost went to med school, but then you decided not to, just something. So you have some skin in the game and you actually know how to talk to your niche, right? So I made this really easy on myself by choosing the niche of service providers as a service provider. But it doesn't have to be that direct. It could just be you've always loved their work, or you've watched a ton of documentaries on their field, or your father was a professional golfer or something, and now you're working with golf companies. I think that this is the best way to actually speak to people and understand what they're looking for, and also just have some sort of connection to who you're talking to, right? Because I feel like I just get super uninspired if I'm trying to target a niche like insurance companies, and I don't know anybody in insurance, I don't have any interest in insurance, there's just nothing there connecting me to that niche. And people can feel that when you're writing sales copy or social captions. People can feel when they're like being treated like a sale instead of a person. So I think that if you're not in some way connected to your niche, then there's going to be some authenticity that is missing. On to the next unpopular opinion, which is that not every package or offering you have needs to include a meeting or even a discovery call. Now, this might be my introvert coming out. Because I've just never loved meetings, you know? I mean, it is fun when you really are close with a client or you have a good chemistry on Zoom or whatever, but at the end of the day, I just don't love meetings. Even if I love you as a person, there's just, I don't know, there's other things I'd rather be doing with my time if they're not necessary. Now, of course, if it's a bigger project, more involved, you're gonna need meetings, and they're actually really helpful to kind of cut down on miscommunications that can happen over email and other ways of communicating, because there's been times where I thought a client just hated a design I did and was never going to want to work with me again. And then we got on the call and they were like, oh, this is great. It's actually only a few things I wanted to change. So that's my little homage to meetings. They're definitely important for many, many projects, but not every package needs one. And I think that's something that more service providers could benefit from including in their kind of package options, is something that's super small scale, super simple and straightforward, so that for clients with either smaller budgets or just a more DIY, solo, kind of spirited person, because not everyone loves that level of involvement. Like, there's just as many clients who don't love meetings as there are service providers. So I think it's worth considering some sort of package like that. I know I just actually hired a service provider to do this for me, and we just did her most simple, basic package, and we didn't need to hop on a discovery call. We didn't need to have an end of wrap-up type of call, and I still felt totally supported, super excited. I still valued the package. I loved getting her expertise, and I didn't need a meeting. So that's all I'm saying. If there's introverts out there that have been crying because every single package, every single offering you do needs at least two meetings, it's not the case. Just try it out and you'll find your people who also don't love meetings, and then you can keep your meetings for your more custom involved packages. All right, here's my next unpopular opinion, and it's that you don't need an audience to start offering a digital product, but you do need a really, really patient mentality. I think there's definitely value in adding in a product, whether it's a workshop or a ebook or a template early on in your business, so that when you have people who can't afford your one-on-one services, they can be directed to this product. I think it's a great thing to just have in the docket, to have planted and kind of grow with you as your audience grows and your reach grows. So definitely don't put it off. Don't feel like you have to wait until you have 1,000 followers or 10,000 followers to do any of that. I think it's actually really worthwhile investment of your time, but you're gonna need to be really patient, because if you think it's hard finding one-on-one clients, just wait until you start offering a product. I don't know why, but for some reason, even though it's less money, it typically takes a lot more reach. So whether it's a bigger email list or Instagram following or whatever, and of course that needs to be an engaged audience to actually kind of match up to the income that you're making from services, which is fine. That's actually why I started as a service provider, because I was looking at all these different business ideas and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I gotta think of a whole product. I gotta have inventory or find, you know, 10,000 people to get on an email list. But with services, the most magical thing is that we don't need 1,000, 10,000, or even 100 people in our bubble, and we can start actually making a good income. So you'll just need to kind of switch that mentality if you do start adding on more productized things, because it's a long game. And when you launch, it might just be crickets, and that's okay. Just keep it out there and you'll have sales slowly trickling in as long as you keep talking about it and improving it and just not giving up on it, right? Because if you let it totally like die in a little corner of your website and never get seen, that's not going to grow with you. But if you continue nurturing it as your audience grows and as you learn more about what people want, it will be one of your best assets to have. Okay, my next unpopular opinion is that you don't need to check your email more than once a day. Now, this might actually be a popular opinion, maybe a popular dream for people, but I find that when I say this to people, a lot of them just say, oh, that sounds great, but I could never do that in my business or in my situation. And I definitely understand that, because especially if you're working at a full-time job or something, they're probably going to need you on your email more than once a day. But if you are not working on a full-time job and you are fully freelancing and you are fully running your own brand, you don't need to check that email more than once a day. Unless maybe you're like doing an intensive, but then you're probably not even talking in email. My whole philosophy around this is that email used to be a lot slower than it is today, right? So you'd send an email to someone and they'd get back to you and maybe a day, maybe 2 days or 3 days, maybe even a week sometimes, and that was okay. So if you just continue with that kind of slower pace, you'll find that people around you, whether they're clients or collaborators, can adapt, you know, unless there's always special circumstances and seasons, right? So if it's a VIP day or you're about to launch something or something big is happening, that's where places like Slack and all that come in handy. But I do think that we can keep email as this kind of sacred, slower space in the digital world that is so fast. Everything's like, boom, just got a Slack. I'm gonna reply instantly. Oh, ready to Zoom? Let's hop on a quick meeting. Let's jump on a call. It's just boom, boom, boom all the time. Can you change this real quick? It only take 5 minutes. That kind of energy can stay out of your email inbox. You can save that for Slack or whatever else you use. And you can even include this at the bottom of your email, just a little note saying, I typically respond within 24 to 48 hours. Or 12 to 24 hours, whatever your time is that feels good to you. And keep people in the know so people don't think you're ignoring them, but you don't need to check it more than once a day. Okay, I only have a few more unpopular opinions, but this one is a big one for me, and it's that you should always, always list your pricing, and you should have set prices for your packages. So I get some pushback on the set packages thing, because sometimes people are like, I have really custom needs for my clients. They all want something different and I want to be able to accommodate them. And I understand that. But at the same time, I think the transition from service provider to an actual brand that can give you more income, more time, and more creative freedom is in the difference between custom work and set packages. I think it clears up so much for your clients and you, so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel and spend all this time on custom proposals every time someone inquires. And instead, you don't have to fit into your client's needs every time, but instead they can match up their needs to your existing packages. And when you have these existing packages, that means you can really spend time on them, streamlining the onboarding process, the offboarding process, inside and out. You can streamline and really get to know the package that you're offering and get really good at what you're offering when it exists within a set package. So yeah, that's just my two cents on it. I think it's the best way to kind of grow out of just freelancing to actually having your own brand. And I also think it eliminates a lot of budget issues. So then people know right away what the cost is, and there's no hidden cost. There's no, oh, it just starts here, but it could go up like 10K, because that's scary as a client to see that, unless, you know, you're a $1 million business. But if things are tight and you have a really firm budget for marketing or whatever else you're spending this money on with the service provider, it makes their lives so much easier to just have a set price that they can count on. Okay, second to last unpopular opinion is that you should be selling before the discovery call and not during. So I have been in two different schools of thought about this before. I've been in the camp where it was more about selling after, which is extra hard. I think that might be the worst, right? Where it's a proposal and you're sending most of the information and you're asking for confirmation after the call. And I've also been in the camp where I thought the best way to do it was during, which there is a strong case for definitely getting like verbal confirmation, so you're not wasting your time sending a proposal to someone who's gonna ghost you. I'm not saying totally throw that out the window either. It is really nice to just ask and be able to address objections on the call. But nowadays, I actually think most of the selling should be done before the call. And this goes back to my passion for service pages and just a well-built website in general, because if everything is working correctly and you're giving people enough information, you're giving them the chance to kind of guide themselves through the buying process independently, which I think is really nice. It's something I love to have the option to do as a buyer whenever I'm investing in a course or a service provider or just a expensive thing in my personal life. I want to be able to take the time to read about the company or the founder, or if it's a course, I want to learn about the curriculum, or if it's a service package, I want to learn about all the deliverables and the process and read testimonials on my own time so that I don't have to waste their time or mine by getting on a call with a brand or a service provider that I'm totally unaligned with. So ideally, if you have that well-built service page and homepage and about page, all that, by the time people schedule a discovery call, it should just be a super quick chat to actually talk to each other, answer any remaining questions, just kind of feel the vibe and know like, okay, we work well together, or we talk well together, so I think we'll work well together. And then get that confirmation of, do you actually want to move forward? And if not, that's totally fine too. But more than likely, if your systems have been set up right before the call, they probably do want to move forward, and that's why they even scheduled a call. So that's just my two cents there. Okay, this is my last unpopular opinion, and it's that bigger projects or packages, offerings, whatever you want to call them, are way more stressful than smaller packages and just overall not worth it. So yeah, if you've been listening to the podcast for a bit, you've probably gotten that vibe from me and not been surprised by that unpopular opinion, because I get really overwhelmed and stressed easily if I have a super custom big project. And part of it is the involvedness, right? Because if it's a bigger project, it's normally got a lot more moving parts. And the other part is just the sheer amount of money that's on the line. And it can be a blessing or a curse, right? To have a 10K or 5K package going on. Because if it goes great, it's amazing. You just made 10K. But if it's not going great, your client is expecting 10K worth of value, and believe it or not, you gotta be able to deliver that, or else there's gonna be some serious tension there, some serious disappointment, and nobody wants that for their business, right? We all wanna do our best for our clients. And if you feel comfortable charging 5K or 10K and your clients are happy, that's amazing. You're giving that value, that's perfect. And if the process doesn't stress you out in the meantime, that's even better, because a lot of service providers don't have both, right? They're either delivering really well, but they're super stressed the whole time, or they're not delivering super well, and they're probably still stressed. But long story short, I will always vouch for smaller things like audits and strategy calls and power hours and VIP days, just purely for the peace of mind that you get and the kind of control over your schedule too, right? If you know that a package only takes you an hour or 2 hours to do, or a VIP day maybe takes you 5 or 6 hours, but it's only once a week or maybe even once a month, so much more manageable and easy to plan around and deliver on when it's so clear and outlined in the way that the smaller packages are. Now, where this can go wrong is if you're offering a smaller package that's not actually that small. So if you're just undercharging, that's not what I mean. I mean a package that's really easy and repeatable and has a short duration that you can offer. So if you're charging like $300 for a full month of social media management right now, that's not what I'm talking about. That's also very stressful. So just take some time and maybe audit what you're offering right now and try and think of a mini version or a more efficient, intensive version of something and just try it out. You might be surprised that you actually really like offering that more condensed version of your original service. But that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And next week I'll be back with a more practical episode. So you'll have some more tangible things to try after that one. But you know what? This one's cool too. I like a mix of both. And I hope you have a great day.